Hey, all you photography fans out there, this is the Image Doctors for November 22nd, 2007, episode number 54. I'm Jason O'Dell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And today we're pleased to announce that this episode of the Image Doctors is being sponsored by Bogan Imaging. Mm-hmm. Bogan Imaging is more than just tripods.
Right. They distribute some of our favorite products, which you've heard us talk about in the past, things like Gitzo tripods. Woohoo!
Yeah, and the Bogan Manfrotto tripods.
Right, which are excellent.
Kata bags.
Mm-hmm. And Gossen light meters. Mm-hmm. All sorts of good things.
Elenchrome strobe lighting. Mm-hmm. So check them out, Bogan Imaging on the web, and see what all they have to offer. And many of these products are carried in the Nikonian shop.
Right. But we're very appreciative to them for sponsoring our podcast.
Thank you very much.
So today we're going to do our annual holiday shopping idea thing, which is always a popular topic.
Yeah, so hide your wallets.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to do it a little differently this year. I mean, I know in the past we've made it sort of a short list and we've given little mini product reviews of stuff that we've liked. And you can always go back to the Image Doctor archives and check out what we've said in the past, because a lot of those suggestions we've given in the past are still valid in 2007. You know, a lot of the accessories don't change, even though your cameras might change. And for people who have been looking to wonder where these archives are, there's an anchored post in the podcast feedback forum in the Nikonians discussion boards. And at the very top, you can see there's a link to our archive page. And if you click that, it'll show you every episode we've ever done. And you can download anything if you've, you know, missed it. It has all the show notes for those episodes. So it's a good place to look, especially if you want to see if we've covered a topic or not.
Yeah. So certainly you can check our podcasts in 2006 and 2005, which covered these ideas. Because like you said, a lot of them are still good.
So rather than be terribly specific on numerous products, we thought we'd be a little more general this year in the kinds of things that make good, you know, the kinds of stuff that you might want to buy this time of year, whether it's because it's a stocking stuffer or a gift or just, you know, good accessories to have.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, if you aren't spending all your money on upgrading to a D3 or a D300, you might have some stuff, you know, that won't break your bank.
Yeah. And actually I'm going to throw out one idea before we even start on the list, and this has nothing to do with equipment or accessories, which may disappoint some people, but I think it's a great idea, which is if your spouse or someone like that is looking to give you a nice present, or you just want to give one to yourself, how about a couple days off shooting somewhere in a location that you don't normally get to? It doesn't have to be something exotic, you know, halfway across the world. It could even be somewhere fairly close, but do that, focus on just photography and don't have other distractions. They're a great way to get some good images.
Right. And give yourself maybe 2 days or 3 days at the same spot so you can really work that site. You don't feel pressured by, oh, I've got to go back, get home by 5 o'clock tonight.
You can get to the locations at the right time of the day with the best light, all sorts of good things about it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And it's a good gift for somebody, for yourself.
Easing into, you know, things that are a little bit more material, perhaps, but not as much as others. Photo books are great, and it can be, you know, the work of a photographer that you really admire or one that you've heard a little bit about but want to learn more. It's a great way to get inspired about some ideas.
And then in that same line, there's a number of instructional DVDs or videos or and, you know, how-to books out there as well. I know Versace's got some new DVDs if you're into Photoshop, not just by him, but he's actually producing some from other photographers now. Mm-hmm. And I know that in a previous podcast you mentioned the videos on printing from the Luminous Landscape, but I think they have other topics too, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, that can really help if you're looking to, how do I do this? How do I make better something? You know, look for the videos there.
Again, the idea is, you know, inspire yourself to try some new things or variants off of things that you've done in the past.
Yeah, and if you're looking for where do I get these? I mean, the number one thing everyone thinks is, I'll just go to Amazon, and that's a great way to do it. But one way you can do it and support the Nikonian site is to go to the Nikonian's bookshelves, and that has links to all the various flavors of Amazon, but percentage of the sale goes to support the Nikonian site.
And, we'll,
and there's
we'll
a huge
a
list.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that.
We'll give you a list on the show notes.
But it's also
page.
Got a very nice set of things that are good photo books.
Organized by topic. Mm-hmm. If you're looking, another place to find how-to books, especially if you're really looking for how-to manuals, maintenance manuals, you know, if you're really into that kind of thing, mm-hmm. or just the how-tos, whether it's digital film, manuals for different kinds of cameras, or, you know, instruction kinds of books, not necessarily manufacturer manuals. I'm talking about, you know, books that people have written about how to use the whatever camera out there. Mm-hmm. There's a website called camerabooks.com, mm-hmm. and they have a whole lot of instructional DVDs, ebooks, and regular books that you can buy mm-hmm. from them. So that's those are some good places to look. And that's a good time this holiday. You know, books are great. They just really work well. You know, maybe the weather's bad. You can sit in and read your book, get inspired for the upcoming photo season.
Yep.
Now, moving on. Now, one thing that we always mention, but we'll mention it again, is check your filter list. Mm-hmm. You know, is this the year that you need to buy that polarizing filter, or have you gotten some new lenses that require that have a different filter ring?
Right.
Do you want to buy a new filter for those, or get a step up adapter ring to go with your filters?
Right.
And, you know, and we always talk about those. We're not going to go why you should get these filters, but you know, the normal list of things that, you know, if you're looking, maybe this is the year I buy that polarizer or the set of grad neutral density grad filters, mm-hmm. Or upgrade. You know, maybe you want to splurge and get the Singray filters this year. Mm-hmm. They're more expensive, but they're really good. Something like that Very ND filter that you have, that I know you've tried. Mm-hmm. That could come in handy, especially for people who have cameras with base ISOs of 200.
Right.
And I know two new cameras that are going to have base ISOs of 200 coming out.
Although they'll go down to 100.
Right.
Yeah.
But so anyway, but even at 100, sometimes you need to slow things down. So something like that, those are interesting suggestions. And we're not going to tell you why. That's in previous episodes.
Right.
But just to, you know, jog your memory.
Yeah.
And one thing I've been looking into getting, mm-hmm. and I haven't done it yet, is something like a travel tripod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a real small, portable, you know, tabletop, almost tripod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have real small tripods that are still can extend fairly large, and they have tabletop tripods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I haven't done yet, but I'm interested in doing it because, you know, as you travel, there's enough times where you go in places where, you know, just having that little bit of support.
Yeah,
really
tripods
helps.
Are a key photo accessory. They really are. You know, most people find them not too exotic or interesting. I actually think they're kind of cool, but I think both of us are a little bit of an exception there. But they really can make a big difference in your photos. So if you don't have a tripod, get one. If you have a tripod that's too big and heavy for a lot of shooting situations, consider investing in one that's easy to carry around.
Or vice versa. If your tripod is really flimsy,
get a good one.
Get a good tripod because it'll be the last one you need to buy.
Yeah, and of course that refers us back a little bit to our sponsor today. The two tripod brands that I always recommend, because they're the ones that I've owned, are Gitzo and Manfrotto's.
Which sometimes really in the U.S. they were listed as Bogan, but mm-hmm. the same thing. Yeah, and that's you spend money one time on something good, and you'll thank yourself because it becomes an investment that you don't have to replace.
Even though if you're like us, you'll find cool new ones. But
well, there's always situations like travel where you can't pack your big tripod, or you don't need your big tripod, or they won't let you in a place with one.
Right.
So that can help.
Yeah. You know, we have mentioned the LightSphere flash diffuser before, but if you haven't tried one of those, boy, does that work well. And I see them popping up all over the place when I've been at events where there's been a photographer in there photographing stuff. I see them using light spheres all the time where they're in a situation where they can't bounce light off of a ceiling. Those things are relatively cheap. They're pretty much indestructible, and the light quality is really nice. Better than almost anything else that I can think of that's that portable.
Right. If you're in a room where you can bounce, they make the bounce just work so much better.
Yeah.
Because they do throw light directly on your subject as well as bouncing it. And then I like using that diffuser dome to point directly at a subject, especially if I'm close in. It's a great diffuser, and it works really nicely. And they're made for all different kinds of flashes. Yeah. You just have to look up the right one.
Just make sure you get it in time for holiday photos.
Yeah, those group shots around your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
The light sphere will work wonders for those.
Yeah. And you can get that from the Nikonian's Pro Photoshop, too.
Yeah, that's true. We do sell those on the site.
Yep.
You know, another lighting thing, we've mentioned in the past, too, if you're looking for flash accessories, mm-hmm. it's also in that same price range, in that 40 to 50 U.S. dollar price range, is the flash extender, mm-hmm. which, again, if you're getting a longer lens, if you get the new telephoto lens this year, that would be something great if you're into wildlife.
Yeah.
To get, and they're cheap, they're easy to pack, they're
very effective.
Yeah, they work incredibly well, and we've talked about those
and how
too.
To use them. Yeah.
So, but that's another great little accessory there in the lighting category.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a walk-on topic that we didn't put on the list that I just thought of.
Cool.
Because it's what I got myself yesterday, and it was some Fuji Velvia 50 film.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I got it for my medium format camera.
Is this the new Fuji Velvia 50?
Stuff.
Okay.
I'm so happy. Because I actually, this is funny, but I actually have one roll still of 120 Velvia 50 film that's dated 2005 in my freezer still, and I just couldn't make myself use up that one last roll. So I guess I can now, but yeah.
We'll have to do a comparison. Like, you'll have to bring back your report on that for another episode.
Yeah.
Tell us how it
works.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do a really scientific comparison.
No, but just is it any good? How does it stack up with the old Velvia?
I've heard good things. And, you know, the thing is, although Velvia 100 wasn't a bad film, it just was not the same. There was just a quality with the Velvia 50 stuff that wasn't there. So I'm pretty psyched.
That's very nice.
I'll have to get out and use it here soon.
Yeah, I've seen advertisements for it, but I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah, but I think that's a cool thing.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Now, what about
our list?
What about batteries? Batteries make great stocking stuffers,
yeah.
And a couple different kinds of stuff. I mean, first of all, a spare battery for your camera.
Yeah, of course, we were both very proactive and ordered spare batteries for the D3 and D300 cameras.
That's true.
You know, before they all disappear.
Yeah, and
hopefully that won't happen, but it has happened in the past.
Right. I would say that I'm pretty hopeful because I think the supply line is in pretty good shape for those because mm-hmm. they're not using new batteries.
Right.
They're using existing batteries. The D300 is going to use EN-EL3Es,
mm-hmm.
and the D3 will use EN-EL4As, but it'll also be able to use EN-EL4. I don't see there's any reason not to. I think you just get longer life.
With the newer
battery. There's no real difference between the 4 and the 4A other than capacity, mm-hmm. from what I've heard. But I know that there's some compatibility issues with the 3 series,
yeah.
between things like... But the EN-EL3Es, if you haven't bought one already, it's always good to get a spare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a bad thing. And then one of the things that I like, and I think I mentioned it before, is what about the rechargeable batteries for your speed lights? You know, those AA rechargeable cells. If you're not using rechargeables, they're highly recommended. The only downside to the nickel metal hydride rechargeable batteries is that they're heavier than something like lithium AAs.
Mm-hmm.
But you can recharge them. And in the field, that's great. For me, the biggest pain in the butt was always some of the chargers that these things come with are 4, 6, or even 8 hour chargers. And when you're in a situation in the field, in a hotel, and you get back late, and you basically have one chance to recharge something overnight, you have to A, remember to recharge them overnight, and B, sometimes the capacity of the chargers isn't very large. So recently I bought the Maha Energy, M-A-H-A. They make batteries, the PowerX line of batteries, which are 2,700 milliamp nickel metal hydride AAs, so they have a high capacity. And their charger can hold 8 AAs and charge them in an hour. Now, when you do that, the overall life of the battery can be reduced. So then it also gives you an option to do a softer charge where it does take the full 8 hour trickle to charge it up. But man, there's nothing better than being able to slap 8 AAs into the thing at once and have them done in an hour or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And it'll also refresh them. So it's a good charger. They're more expensive than the stuff that you'll find. I think the charger is like $100 or something. But, you know, if you're looking for one, It's a great charger if you use a lot of AA cells. And one thing that reminds me is that the battery grip for the D300 will accept AA cells. So that's a possibility as well. And with AA's, you'll be able to get that 8 frames per second.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that we sell at the Nikonians Pro Shop is something called a walk stool. Mm-hmm. And I have one that I found before we were selling them. I found one at REI actually, mm-hmm. but it's the idea of, it's a little tripod stool, mm-hmm. and they pack down into almost nothing. They have, bungee cords on the inside of the legs, so they pretty much don't fall apart. You know, you can just attach the legs. Their legs are in two segments, and then they fold in half, and then they fold up into this nice little. Usually, they have a carrying case that they come with.
Yeah, and I have one of the actual walk stools, you know, that I got from the Nikonian shop. They're great. I mean, they're very, very light. They're pretty comfortable. They're very well made, you know, talking about the actual walk stool.
They hold quite a lot of load.
Yeah, a lot more than I need, fortunately. But the best thing about having something like that, no matter what brand it is if you can get yourself comfortable while you're shooting, then you're more likely to do it for an extended period of time and really get the best shot. And you can also be a little bit lower to the ground, as opposed to standing mm-hmm. up, and that can be a good thing in terms of getting the right sort of perspective.
And also, it makes your tripod more stable.
Mm-hmm, because it's not as extended up as far. So there are a lot of good things about those, and they weigh very little, and they're easy to pack. So I definitely would recommend something like that.
I recently used mine taking pictures of a friend's kid's soccer game, mm-hmm. and so I had my monopod. And it just made it easier to use because mm-hmm. I could just sit there, and then I had the monopod, and just everything was sort of adjusted right, and it was more comfortable.
Yep.
So what else do we suggest? Because everyone always says, yo, we hate you because you make us spend money.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really our intention.
Well, not completely.
But it's always...
We do have an evil streak, but...
that time of year.
You know, helping on that, it's a good time to buy used equipment. And that will be the case for the next several months. You know, a lot of people are buying some of the new Nikon bodies coming out. And so it's a wonderful time to pick up a used D200, D2X,
D280,
you know, all of those cameras, as well as film cameras, too. Mm-hmm. Those remain a really great deal. And you could even, you know, get something to go with that, you know, pro pack of Velvia 50.
Yeah.
But
if you've ever wanted a D2X, I have a hunch that it's going to be a great time to buy them on the used market in about a month or two.
Yeah, and not all of them, you know, have taken that many shots. Those things have, you know, long life, so.
Yeah, and a lot of the pros, sometimes they'll have one as their backup, and they'll sell both because they've replaced it with two new cameras. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to get something that was a backup camera.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing holds true with lenses, too, especially ones that are being upgraded.
Right.
Here over the next few months.
28 to 70.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you might be able to get that one.
Yep.
One lens that in particular, and I don't know why, it just it hasn't had more staying power, but the 18 to 70 DX is a great little lens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been replaced in the kit lens lineup by the 18 to 55 or 18 to 135. And so a lot of times you can find these used for $200 or less.
Right.
And it's I got one off the Nikonians I want to sell for them for $200, and it was absolutely mint.
Yeah.
In the box, it looked unused. All the paperwork was there. It was great.
The one I got a while back was $175, you know, in mint condition. So it's a great lens for the money.
And speaking of used lenses, didn't you just buy one?
We'll talk about that one later.
Oh, we'll have to field test it.
But it is somewhat related to the topic of, you know, used equipment at good prices that is being upgraded.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one thing is for sure, with the D3 coming on, there's definitely going to be a market for the traditional full-frame lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might find those being pretty scarce kind of soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a deal, if you are thinking about getting a D3 mm-hmm. and you can find a deal on a 17 to 35, I would say do it, because that lens is a great lens, and it offers some, there may be some people switching to the 14 to 24 and willing to part with their 17 to 35. Mm-hmm. And same thing with a 2870.
Right.
So look for those. Look for people, you know, dumping. If, you know, maybe someone's switching completely to a D3, you might find a great deal on a 17-55. Because those DX lenses are still great. Mm-hmm. And just remember that only one Nikon camera isn't DX format.
Right.
So it's, you know, the preponderance of people who have Nikon DSLRs are still shooting DX format. There's nothing, you know, nothing weird there. Yeah. Now, where do you go to find the used gear? Well, I've had a lot of good success on the Nikonians forum, mm-hmm. the I Want to Sell forum. Mm-hmm. That's a forum where you cannot post to it unless you're a silver member. Mm-hmm. So for the $25, the ability to post, you know, your silver membership gets you the ability to post in the I Want to Sell forum. That's one nice thing. Of course, you can always browse it and use it. And for the most part, I found very good luck and very good equipment. Mm-hmm. And typically at a better price than you might see if it were on an auction site or being sold through a reseller.
Right.
You know, the resellers will oftentimes have the highest prices for used gear. But there's some good ones out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know B&H sells used stuff. Mm-hmm. KEH sells used stuff, and they're very reputable. Mm-hmm. And their grading scheme is very, very conservative.
Right.
So something there that's marked excellent is going to be pretty much, for anybody else's standard, it's going to be almost mint condition. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very, very good. It's they grade them very, very conservatively. Mm-hmm. So used gear is going to be, it's going to be an interesting season for used gear. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yep, I agree. So and we will talk about that new thing later, probably in conjunction with the D3.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I'll give everyone a hint. Rick's taking up bodybuilding.
Or needs to. Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, let's talk about, we've got a prescription for this week. Mm-hmm. I know we didn't have one last week, but then last week was almost the whole episode was prescriptions, if you think about it.
Right.
And
we ran out of time.
Yeah. So this time we've got a prescription for you. And one question keeps coming up. We mentioned grad filters numerous times. Mm-hmm. And this is a great question is, when do you use, you know, the soft edge versus the hard edge? Mm-hmm. You know, and first thing is that most hard edge filters usually aren't just a straight line.
No,
there's usually a little softness to the edge. It's just, is the transition abrupt or is the transition gradual?
Right. And the thing to realize too is that, especially if you're not using an extremely wide lens that has tremendous depth of field, that transition zone on the grad filter, you know, even if it's a hard edged one, isn't usually quite as bad as you think. And that's especially true if you put the grad filter in the slot that's closest to the lens. That's one thing that'll help blur it out a little bit too. So what I find is in practice, I use the hard edge filters more than the soft edge ones. And you know, the way I will pick them out or determine which way to go is if I've got, you know, something that looks approximately like a horizon in the photo, even if it's not perfectly straight, I'll generally end up using the hard-edged filter. And what I'll try to do is get the transition zone a little bit more in the darker portion of the photo as opposed to the lighter portion where it's more likely to show up. And usually there I can even have kind of an uneven transition area, and it's just fine. The soft-edged ones are ones that I use more where I'm going to have to put a transition in a light part of the photo, like in the sky. And just
or
for whatever
mountains
reason,
and stuff,
or it's a very uneven transition area, and I just have no choice. But that's usually what I'll do, and you just have to kind of experiment with it too. The other factor is the focal length. If I'm using an extremely wide angle lens, something very short, like, you know, the 12 millimeter end of my 12-24, I'm a little bit more likely to go with a soft edged grad filter. Just because that thing has such a depth of field that the transition zone of the filter is more in focus. So, you know, those are just some good guidelines. You know, a related question that we'd received is, you know, I've given advice several times on, you know, pick out a 2-stop soft and a 3-stop hard. You know, why those particular ones? You know, honestly, it's just, you know, I own other ones, and those are the ones I keep coming back to. It's a little bit hard to articulate in some cases. You know, you could make a case for a three-stop soft one too. I'm not, you know, with the Singray one, which is the one I have, I think the transition area isn't quite the way I would want it with that filter. Need to convince those guys to do it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I use that filter a lot on the Ampat, and mm-hmm. I had to push it way down.
By the time I got
to the three-stop zone, it was very, very short.
So that's probably one reason why I use the two-stop soft more, is it just has to do with that transition.
You know, and we live in a good time. I mean, if you're new to grad filters, mm-hmm. play with them. Mm-hmm. You're shooting digital probably at this point. That's one of the beauties of digital. Mm-hmm. Go out and mess with it. I remember before having to look through the viewfinder, and then they would say, okay, well, use the depth of field preview, and maybe your camera has that, and maybe it doesn't mm-hmm. even have a depth of field preview. And even if it does, when are we using these things? Well, a lot of times it's early in the morning or late in the evening, and you can't see that transition zone through the viewfinder at all.
It's
really hard. So look at your images and see. I mean, if you've got it kind of skewed and you can tell.
Yeah.
You know, make sure when you're using the grads that you've got the holder on properly, because sometimes if you've got it and the filter isn't in the slot the right way, you can get some vignetting by accident.
Right.
So, but again, you live in a world where most of the time, you have a second chance to take the photograph. And so that's what the LCD screen is for.
Yeah. Now one added little trick that you can do is if you just have a hard edge grad, and this is especially true if you're using some that are the bigger, you know, 4x6 inch grads, but you can pull it off with a smaller one too. Hand hold the grad in front of your lens, and during the exposure, especially if it's a longer one, is often the case when you're using these, just jiggle it slightly up and down. And that way you'll blur out that transition zone a little bit. You can turn a hard into a soft.
I can see a Bill Cosby commercial coming up. ND grad jigglers.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Jell-O.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, but that's a great tip, because I know that those are, you know, we talk about these filters all the time. They are a little bit tricky to use. You just have to force yourself to do it. When used properly, you will get a much better image.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They really do work. So that concludes this episode. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to Bogan Imaging for sponsoring this week's podcast. We really do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. To kick off the third year of Image Doctors.
Ooh, scary.
All right.
And maybe we'll have some new stuff to talk about at that point.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yep.
All right. See you next time.
Bye-bye.